being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. The one that's not a forgetful. So it starts with not forgetting, right? So if you need to go back and look at your notes, go back and look at your notes. And then say, Holy Spirit, as we said Wednesday night before we concluded last week's session, Holy Spirit, what is it you're pinpointing for me, right? And then let him work that into your life. And don't think, okay, well, I've been there, done that. Did that service, check the box, now we just move on. No, let the word take root in your soil, the soil of your heart, and let it bear some fruit. Amen. And it starts again by refreshing yourself. What did God say? What did he speak to me specifically? And where do I move from here? Amen. How can I begin working in that word? Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to continue the Kingdom Culture series tonight. And my dear wife, Terry, is going to come and bless us with the word. So give him a big welcome tonight as she comes.
Yay. Yay. This has been a fun summer, right? I'm already getting the download for fall. It's going to be something different. I'm excited about that. Marriage sessions, they were good. I really enjoyed them. I love having a different voice in. And it, I don't know, there's just a freshness about it. And Scott and I have been married 42 years, but we still are growing. And it's so great to just go back to that place of the basics, you know, like a football team, which I know nothing about, but they talk about the program, you know, teaching the basics and all that, right? And that's what you build. Am I right, Jake? Do you build a good team on basics? I don't know. That's what my dad used to tell me. But it seems like it's the basics, you know, that keep you strong. And so I love that. I really enjoyed it. We had lunch with them yesterday, day before yesterday. Just talked with them about some things, and I loved them coming out. And Scott and I will never forget. They were the first guest speaker. He was the first guest speaker because we had 10 people. Who wants to come and speak for 10 people, a guest speaker? Nobody. Nobody does. Philip Wood, we asked a friend, said, you got anybody that will come speak at our church? And it was John Gilligan, Pastor John, and he said, yeah, I got somebody. So he said, Philip. Philip came to our 10 people, and he poured it out. You would think he was speaking to 1,000 folks. It was so awesome. We were like, oh my gosh, this is great. Well, praise the Lord. Like he said, we've been talking about kingdom culture, and tonight I want some involvement. I'm going to get you guys to be some readers of scriptures. So I need about probably 5 of you guys or so. So I'll tell you the verses and then the translation and then come stand in front of the microphone here. But just, you know, let's mix it up a little bit tonight. Talking about kingdom culture. What is kingdom culture? It's the culture of God, right? The Bible. How do we live? When we come out from the world, there's a scripture that says, come out from among them and be separate. So when I lived according to the world, God said, okay, we're done with that. And all of tonight so far has been about surrender. But there is a change that takes place. We don't think the same. We don't have family the same. We don't do our money the same. We don't interact with people the same. If someone does us wrong, we forgive, which is not the same, right? We don't hold it for the rest of our life. Scott has somebody in his family, then they didn't talk for how many decades? They live next door, but they had a moment, and so they didn't talk for a long time. Well, we don't do that as Christians, right? We don't allow that. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we don't have the big feelings and doesn't mean we haven't been done wrong, but we do forgive. We drop the charges, you know. All the forgiveness is a big topic, but that's different, right? Kingdom culture is different. And our priorities are different, right? We come to church on Sundays, Wednesdays, and different times, and that's a different priority. The world says just go home and get in your jammies and have your dinner and watch your show and go to bed because it's all going to start over tomorrow. But we don't do that. Thank you guys for coming out. Yes, I already said the scripture. Come out. So 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18. You guys do not have the slide for that, Ben. But it says, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They will be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. So we have a new God. We have a different way of living. And I found this interesting. Revelation 18:4, you also don't have this one. He's talking about the world system. This is end times, but he's saying, come out of the world system or Babylon, be separate, and don't receive any of their plagues. And I found that really interesting that there was a connection between coming out because you don't want the plagues, right? And I'm going to talk about this tonight. Why do we want to walk differently? It's positioning us for blessing. It's positioning us for blessing. So it's good. It's good for us. It's a good thing. Why do we want to live different? Number one, it honors God. He says, do this. And we said, yes, I'm going to do that. Why? Just because you asked, because you're good, because you're God Almighty, because you forgive my sins. You heal me. I want to honor you. So what you say to do and how you say to live, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to honor you, God. That's one reason. And just like I said, another reason is it positions us for blessing when we walk according to the plan. Number three, we don't want to choose the world's way, which is just we're a Christian, born again in our spirit, but we still walk according to the world. We don't want to do that. Why? Because it opens the door to the devil. It opens the door to the devil. So my first reader, who wants to read first? Connie, come. Come stand by here. Okay, so what version do you have? What version do you have? Does she have the ESV? Okay, we're going to do that one. Then we'll change it, Ben, in a minute. So, and then I'm going to have somebody else read it in the NASB 95, so somebody can be ready with that. Maybe pull it up on your phone. So it's Ephesians 4. Sorry, I didn't tell you the verse. Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27.
Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Right here.
Whenever you're ready, Connie, go.
Yep. 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. 27, and give no opportunity to the devil.
Perfect, thank you. Okay, I'll read the NASB. Basically, it says that. I have it here. It says, be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. So saying don't go to bed mad, right? That's hard to do sometimes because sometimes we feel so mad, right, before we go to bed. But I've learned this. How I go to bed is how I wake up. But what it says in the scripture there, it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger and don't give the devil an opportunity or a place. Ding. What happens? We're giving the devil an opportunity in our life when we go to bed angry. We don't want to do that. We want to shut. So God's saying, live this way. Don't go to bed angry, Rose. Why? Because we don't want to give the devil an opportunity. We want to wake up in the place of blessing, not, you know, having to fight the devil all day. So his plan is the best plan, right? Okay, so another reader, Psalm 4:4. Psalm 4:4 in the NASB 95. BB, come on. What version do you have? ESV. Okay, good. And honestly, the verse we just read in Ephesians 4, this is the Old Testament quote. I love this in my Bible, my NASB 95. Whenever it's quoting the Old Testament, it puts it in all caps. It's all throughout the scriptures, all throughout the New Testament. It's quoting Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah. But this one, so the Ephesians 4:26 that we just said is actually quoting this Psalm 4:4. Okay, go ahead, B.
Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts. On your beds and be silent. Selah. After right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Oh, I read 5. My bad.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it says tremble and with anger and don't sin. So when we feel angry, oh, God's saying I have a better way. Number one, don't go to bed angry, but sometimes you just feel all the feelings, right? Anger is an emotion. So someone's done you wrong. This is not even my topic tonight, but God just said use this as an example. This is what I do when I get really angry and it's time for me to go to bed and I still feel angry, you know, whatever, for whatever reason. It says go to bed, but don't sin. Meditate in your heart. What does that mean? Turn thoughts over. So what are we turning over? The promises of God, the goodness of God. It says, meditate in your heart on your bed and be still. That means shut your mouth and be still, right? Shut the mouth. That's the big one. And it says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Trust in the Lord. Yes, trust in the Lord. So stop talking, Terry. Think the right thoughts. Think the plan of God and be still. And what is that? You're offering a sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? It costs you something. It's so much easier to, you know, whatever. Scott, do you know what that person did? Blah, blah, blah. Nope. Let's go to bed and let's do it God's way. Let's do it the kingdom of God way. So what are we doing? I heard somebody say this. They said, when you see a fool and a wise man fighting in the street, you can't tell which one's which, right? So God's saying, I don't want you to be a fool, and when you're angry, let's handle it God's way. So, right, we're going to do that. So the message tonight, the title, is What Are You Thinking? I know that seems like a fastball there, but what are you thinking? What are you thinking? In the 70s, there was a Disney movie with Kurt Russell. You know, the Disney movies were different. They were not animation. Do you remember the Disney movies in the 70s? They had real people in them. And they were funny. You know, somewhat we'd go to the theater. We didn't see them on TV unless they happened to be on Sunday night. But we were in church, right? So we didn't get to see the movies. And there was no DVR or VHS. None of that. So you had to catch them. But there was a movie with Kurt Russell. I do not remember the name of it. But in the movie, there's a TV, this old TV above his head. And everything he would think, it would project on this TV. And the Lord reminded me of that. And he's like, Terry, what you're thinking about, would you be okay with that being on a TV screen above your head as you walk through life? You're in the store. Here's it. Here it is. You walk into your family and there's, you know, conflict. You know, you walk into whatever, you know, my husband, you know, would you like that to be on the TV screen? No, but we should be able to. God sees it. We just don't want everybody else to see it. But, you know, God, he spoke to me and he said, Terry, what are you thinking? What are you thinking about? You know, and we know that we are supposed to do certain things according to the kingdom, forgive, live a certain way and all of this. But sometimes we let our mind go loony bins. You know, it's like we're just letting thoughts run through our mind that should not be there. And so he really started challenging me, Terry, what are you thinking about? What are you allowing? I found myself kind of underwater about a situation. And I just kept, honestly, the devil was just machine gunning my thoughts about this. This da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all the bad things, right? All the bad things. And I was just turning those thoughts over in my mind. And he just kind of pulled me up short and he said, what are you thinking about? And I thought, I don't know. There's something crazy going on up there. But I realized the thoughts that I was allowing to be rolling around in my mind, bouncing back and forth, were not God's. It wasn't God's plan. But I was allowing the thoughts. What did Brother Hagin say? The birds of the air are going to fly over. You can't stop that, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair, right? And that's the way it is with the thoughts. They're going to fly around, but you can decide what stays up there. You can decide what you turn over again and again. So we need to judge it according to the plan. You say, what's the plan? It's God's plan. His plan for our life. That's what we need to allow in it. And if it's not according to the plan, it needs to be shut out. It needs to be squeezed out. That's just the way it is. When we're cleaning out a closet, Rachel is such a good closet cleaner, organizer person. And, you know, when my mom passed, we had so much stuff. And so we went through this thing. So three bags. Okay, we got one bag. It's like, it's the keep bag. You know, we're cleaning out this room, the big bag. This is the keep bag. This is the it's just trash, right? It needs to be burnt at the stake. Nobody ever wants to see that or do anything with it. And then there's the donate bag. Somebody can use it, but we don't want it anymore, right? So the three bags. And the Lord said, you know, your thoughts are kind of like that. So there's, we're going to keep it. It's good. It's according to the plan. So are your thoughts good? Is it according to the plan? Or is it just trash? You're never going to make it. It's over. Everything's going to fall apart. You know, all the dumb things that he says that are not God. You know, it's going to happen for everybody else, but you are going to be so embarrassed, you know, because God's not going to come through for you. You know, your life is going to fall apart. Whatever, you know, whatever dumb thing that he says to you, that goes in the trash bin. And then there's the donate bag. Sometimes there's things up there and you go, God will speak something to me. And I'll go, is this for me? And he's like, no, it's for somebody. It's for Scott. No, it's for somebody else. So sometimes we have thoughts, it's okay. And sometimes I'm not just talking about words of the Lord, but, you know, maybe he's speaking to you about something. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, man, he just starts downloading. And I'm like, I have no idea who that's for, what that's about. But it's for somebody. And sure enough, I just put it on the back burner and he'll, you know, bring somebody around. But sometimes we just keep things in our heart I just feel to say this too. Praying in the Holy Ghost. What do you do? How do you pray in the Holy Ghost for extended periods of time, which could be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 hours, whatever it is? You quiet your mind. You're not praying from your mind. Not that we're being weird, but we quiet it. We listen to the Holy Ghost inside of us. And to me, it's a constant battle, constant shush. You know, I'm just constantly, sometimes my mind's just spinning. That's okay. But I just keep directing my heart to the Lord. Keep directing. And you know, you get previews. He shows you previews. He'll show you what's going to happen at your job. He'll prepare you. That's happened to me so many times. He'll show you about your finances. You know, get ready for this. He will just begin to talk to you about things. So just, I'm just encouraging you guys, show up by praying in the Holy Ghost with God. Give him some time. Go sit in your closet, whatever it is. I like to turn the lights off because it makes my brain not think about reorganizing my shoes or whatever. It's like, just be still and listen to God and listen to the Holy Ghost. And he can really download some things. So that's for somebody in here. Spend some time praying in the Holy Ghost, in the car, whatever. Use the beautiful gift that he's given you. Where in the world am I on my notes? But the plan. It's what God wants for your life in every area. Your family, your finances, the peace of mind, how to raise our children. It's the good stuff. God is good. He's not bad. So I need a reader. Jeremiah 29:11, but I need it read in the Amplified, regular Amplified. Anybody got the Amplified on your phone? Amplified. I'm Amplified tonight. Perfect. Come on, Dolly. You can probably quote it. You're right. I was not raised in the Amplified. When I married him, I was like, what in the world? This is the wordiest thing I've ever seen. We got married and he had this little red Amplified that was like, wow. I'm so concise. Just, you know, say it and be done with it. Be still and know that I'm God. And it's like you could say it with a whole paragraph. Okay. Amplified's awesome, though. I appreciate it now. So Jeremiah 29:11, the Amplified version.
For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dolly. That's the plan, right? I'm going to read it in the CEV, and then somebody else can read it in the NIV. If somebody wants to get that ready, the NIV, Jeremiah 29:11. CEV says, I will bless you with a future filled with hope, a future of success, not of suffering. The devil tells you that God wants you to suffer. That's stupid. I don't see that anywhere. He says, we will suffer persecution for the gospel's sake, but just to say, Delia, I just want you to, you know, have a sore toe for the rest of your life. That is not, you know, you're going to learn from it. That's dumb. That's not what God is saying. He's saying that I want, right here, I want you to prosper. I want you to be in peace. Rachel, you want to do NIV? Yep. Jeremiah 29:11, NIV.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future.
Thank you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. There's somebody in here, the Lord showed me this today, that you've known harm by people that should have protected you, that should have done right by you, and that was not God. And people have said, that was God. That was not God. That's not the plan of God. That's not our Heavenly Father. I just want to make that clear. And I'm going to read it in the message. I kind of diced it up. I didn't give this to you, Ben, because it was like a paragraph, and I just diced out what I wanted to read. But in the message, the same verse says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you and not abandon you. Plans to give you a future, to give you the future you hoped for. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. That's who our God is. That's the plan. That's the plan. So that's what we're supposed to be thinking about is the plan. It's good. His plan has abundant supply. His plan is full of peace. It's full of health. In the plan, we're made whole from past traumas. We're healthy. We have happy relationships. It's good because our God is good. That's the plan. Okay, I need another reader. John 10:9-10 in the NASB 95. A volunteer who wants to read. John 10:9-10. Yay, Audrey. Yeah, 10:9-10.
Thank you. Oh, I should have brought my glasses. I'm sorry. A little teary-eyed. Hold on.
No, you wore glasses.
No, thanks. You might.
Would you like to wear mine?
Yeah. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Amen. So we see a distinction between Jesus and the stupid devil, the thief. There's a distinction. The thief said he's going to come to steal, kill, and destroy. So when we see steal, kill, and destroy in our life, that's the devil. But Jesus said, I've come. And I love these passages because he's talking about him being the good shepherd. The good shepherd. That really speaks to me. I think about a shepherd with all of his sheep. And he's like, ooh, that little guy has a problem with his leg. He's going to fix it. That little one, you know, he's wayward. Well, let's go get him. All the things. That's the good shepherd. And he says, what I want for you, just like Scott said a minute ago, the Zoe God kind of life, abundant life. Abundant life. Alan and Dolly, abundant life. Not just life, not just food on the table, abundant life. Tammy, abundant life. That's exciting. Abundant life. God, show us what that looks like. That's the plan. So let's stop thinking lack, barely, all that. Let's think abundant life. That's what he has for us, abundant life. Yes. So what are we thinking about? We're thinking about the plan, abundant life. Okay, and so I need a reader to get ready. Proverbs 4:23 in the NLT. This verse is talking about the heart. When you look in the Bible, the heart, you'll see it many times. It's used in different ways. Sometimes it'll talk about when we get saved, people say, give your heart to Jesus. But that's really talking about the spirit of man. But in this passage, in the Proverbs, many times, it's talking about what you're thinking about, your thoughts and your attitude. Your thoughts and your attitude. And God is not just, Emily, what we do on the outside. He's, what are you thinking about and what's your attitude? Just like if we had the TV up here, would it be okay what I'm thinking about? Would it be okay what my attitude is? We have to judge that, you know, according to the word. We need to keep it right. And so in this passage, this 4:23, that's what he's talking about when he talks about the heart. He's saying, be careful. So I'm going to read it in the NASB, then I'd love for somebody to read it in the NLT. So Proverbs 4:23. Anybody got the NLT? Alan, come on. Jane, you can get the next one. I think I have one more. So I'm going to read it in NASB. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. For from it flow the springs of life. Okay, go, Alan.
Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life.
That's so powerful. Thank you. That's the way I like to think of that verse is, guard your heart, guard your thoughts, guard your attitude above everything else. You'd think he'd say a lot of things. Your family, make sure you go to church, Jane. Your resources, watch your 401k really close. Make sure the supply chain is good and you have toilet paper. No, he's saying guard your heart above everything else, for it determines the course of your life. That's powerful. That came to me one day and I said, guard my heart above everything else. He's like, yep, because that's going to determine where you go. That's going to determine if you get the toilet paper out, you know, the grocery store when you need it. It's going to determine your 401k because you're paying attention to me. Guard your heart. So he's after our thoughts. He's saying how important our thoughts are in our life. Think according to the plan because it's going to determine if we get to the plan or not. What are we thinking about? The Lord spoke this to me today, and when I say spoke to me, I didn't hear an audible voice, right? The Spirit inside of us has been born again. Holy Spirit is inside of us. Amen. Yeah, he lives inside of us, and so the Bible says we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's the still small voice. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but he's speaking all the time if we're paying attention, and sometimes it's so quiet, it's frightening because that was so important what he just said. You know, one time I was traveling from my job, Jane, they had me going somewhere and ran into the restroom real quick. And Holy Ghost is like, you need to get out of here. They were boarding early. I was going to miss my flight, you know. And I think that was so quiet. If I would have not been paying attention, I would have missed my flight for my job. That wouldn't have been good. But anything, other things that are very important. The still small voice. He's speaking to all of us. We have to learn and train ourselves to listen and pay attention to the voice. And the voice of God, many times they'll describe it just as that velvet feeling. You know, it's covered in peace. Sometimes it's louder than other times, but it comes with skill by paying attention. Quiet our mind, listen to the Holy Ghost. So when I say God spoke to me, that's what I mean. I've not heard the audible voice. I don't know if anybody else is in here ever heard an audible voice. I have not, but that's how he speaks, usually. I think that's his way of choice. It helps us stay close to his heart. But he said to me, "When whatever we're thinking about is buying a ticket to go somewhere every day. So what we spend our time turning over in our mind, we're buying a ticket to go somewhere. So Jane, if you're thinking about the provision of God, you're releasing your faith. You're buying a ticket to go there. But if someone else is thinking about, we would never do this in this room, you know, gloom, despair, agony on me, you know, God doesn't love me and my day is going to be terrible. Your day probably isn't going to be great. It's just not, because, you know, what does Andrew Womack say? Whatever your dominant thought is, how does he say it? I wrote it in here. Your life is going in the direction of your dominant thought. That's powerful. And we think our thoughts, we're free to just do whatever we want to up there. And we are free to, but it's costly. It's important. You're investing. You're buying a ticket to go somewhere. And the mind can just be kind of a little bit like the Wild West, you know. And the flesh and the world will say anything goes. Anything goes up there because nobody knows. You don't have the TV up over your head. But the truth is, in the kingdom, Rose, it does matter what we're thinking about. And there's a reason for that. Because when life begins to squeeze us, whatever we have been thinking about is what is going to come out of our mouth. And then everything changes, because what we're saying is what we're setting in motion. Joanna, what I say, I'm setting it in motion. I'm not saying that we don't make mistakes with our mouth, but, you know, as a rule in how we live, it's so important what we say. What we say about ourselves, what we say about our families, our finances, our church, our friends, all the things. Jake and Joanna, they got up one night and talked about their declarations. And Joanna is always talking about how they get checks in the mail all the time. I mean, how many checks have y'all gotten in the mail from random places? Almost $6,300. But it's part of their declarations, right? That, you know, God's blessing you guys. I don't know exactly what they are, but that's amazing. But that's a direct result. It's important what we're thinking about. It's important what comes out of our mouth, because that's what we set in motion in our life. And what we think about long enough comes out, like I said, and it fuels our thoughts, come up, fuel our words. Yeah, and sets in motion our life. Proverbs 18:21, another powerful verse. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's another aha verse for me. I'm like, I would think death and life would be in what country do you live in? What is your nutritional situation like? You know, that's going to decide if you live or die. I don't know. You know, a lot of things would factor in. I wouldn't think that death and life would be as a result of my mouth. But it's the blessing and the curse. It's God's way. What did God do? He created the worlds with his mouth, with his words. You see that in Genesis 1. He spoke it into existence. Judy, we have the power by what we say to create, because we're created in the image of God. And this is for some of us here tonight, and you go, I want to be able to prophesy, and I want, when I bind and loose, and I want all that, I want things to happen. Well, God needs to be able to trust us. So we first start with our thoughts, and then we need to be trustworthy with our mouths. That's my word for the year, is trustworthy. I want to be trustworthy, even when pressure is put on me, when great pressure is put on me, to just say the wrong thing or fuss about this or just, you know, whatever, let it go. No, because we're setting things in motion. Let's don't do that. And how does it start? It starts with our thoughts, right? Praise the Lord. So our job is to think according to the plan. 1 Corinthians 15:7. Did I give that one to you, Ben? Yeah. Do we have a reader in ASB? This can probably be in any version. 1 Corinthians 15:57. I'm not sure I said that right. Anybody want to read that? 1 Corinthians 15:57. Jane, you want to? Come on, let's see. I've not read it in NLT.
But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's so good. NASB says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, what in the world does that mean? When you got born again, you stepped into this place of being in Christ. And it says, we're going to thank God because he gives us the victory. You think the victory? I mean the victory. What are you facing, Mike? The victory. We were listening to something today. We don't always start things. Sometimes things start in our lives that are not good. Enemy throws something at us, but we can determine how it ends. We can determine how it ends by what we say, our faith, because why? Right there. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Dolly, when we are in Christ, we have the victory. James, when we're in Christ, we have the victory. That's huge. So what is our job? Think victory. Think victory. Let's just throw out all this in between. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Let's just throw all that out. And let's go to the victory place, right? And then that's going to come out of our mouth. And then what's going to happen? It's going to set it in motion because our words are creative. They're like God. Fight for your thoughts. Fight for your thoughts. Fight for your thoughts. Just like I said, when that situation was going on with me and I felt underwater and I had just been passively allowing all these thoughts about stupid stuff in my head and the enemy was just machine gunning my brain. And I was just like, oh, you know, and I just thought, what's happening? And the Lord said, what are you thinking about, Terry? Think according to the plan. And that covers a lot. When we think about what does God want for our marriage? Not like, oh, I'm so mad he left his socks in here again or what. No, think according to the plan. What is that? It looks different than just like, oh, you know, and, you know, whatever. I'm going to throw my socks, in, you know, over on his pillow or whatever. I'm not going to. Someday I'm going to tell a funny story that I did during COVID, but I don't feel brave enough to say it tonight. So should I tell the story? Oh, my gosh. Okay, here we go. Just... Okay, so during COVID, here we go. So much time together. We love each other, but so much time together, right? He didn't do it. I did it. I don't even know why I'm telling you this. This is such a moment of confession. So, what'd you say, repentance? Yeah, so like Bill Johnson said, you know, every day with COVID was like you'd have 5 meals, 10 naps, and it's still called today. That's how it was during COVID. And we had had so much ice cream and all the stuff, and I don't know, we just weren't used to all that. And I got so mad at him about something. I don't know what it was. And there was this thing of hand sanitizer just sitting there on the bar. And I just was like, oh my gosh, hand sanitizer. And there sat his little coffee cup with coffee in it. One whole pump in the coffee, and I didn't even care, and he drank it. And he drank I know. God help me. I wasn't even sorry. I was that mad. I was not sorry, and I said, God, you can whip me later. I don't even care about that. I said, did your coffee taste weird? I told him what I did. He said, no, it tasted so good. So we know that alcohol hand sanitizer doesn't taste that bad. I put a whole pump in there and walked off. And I came back and I was like, he drank the whole cup. Anyway, that was a confession moment. Do y'all still love me? Oh my gosh. Okay. So I'm winding it up here. It's 8:00. I've told my confession about hand sanitizer. Oh my gosh. So our job is to think the plan. Think the plan according to, regarding our marriage. Do you still love me, babe? Okay. Do you feel clean inside? Very, very burning sensation. I don't know. Have I told anybody? It seems like I told one person that. I haven't told anybody. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, so human. So I'm challenging you tonight. Let's stand. Let's just finish it up here with the hand sanitizer story. I don't recommend you ever do that. It was not nice. And it was not according to the plan. I was not thinking according to the plan. Baby, do not do that. Don't do it. Luke, don't do it. Connie, don't do it. Who else is young in here? Don't do it. It's not wise and it's not right. I'm sorry, God. So I'm challenging you tonight to think according to the plan and to think victory. So if you're turning something over in your mind that does not bring you peace, stop. You can stop. We like I said, the things can come, but we can decide what we turn over in our mind over and over again. And it will make a difference in our life, and it will position us for victory. Because when we think it we're going to say it, and then we're going to set it in motion. So I want us to pray. I want to pray two things. One, that he will make us aware where we have the wrong thoughts. Because sometimes we have thought them our whole life. About whatever, whoever, us, whatever. We've just thought the wrong thoughts all the way through. So I want to ask the Holy Spirit to make us aware of the wrong thoughts. And then number two, I want to ask him to give us grace to think the right thoughts. That he will cause the word of God. Sometimes there's things that will start turning over in our mind. And Jane, we were at work one time, 24th floor. And all of a sudden, there was so much cursing there. And foul words were just going through my mind. I was like, Lord, help me. How do I get all these words out of my head? And I just said, help me, God. They're just turning over. They just kept coming in. And you know, when I asked him, when I turned to him, instead of feeling guilty, instead of running from it, a scripture just rose up in my heart. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are pleasing in your sight. And it was my weapon. I began to just say it out loud under my breath, and that thing just stopped. But I'm just saying, when things begin to turn over in your mind, ask God to help you. Because his plan is light and easy. His yoke is light and easy. His plan is the best plan, and it's easy. So his way of living is the easy way. We just need, if it's hard, we're doing something wrong. We need to ask for his help, and he will help us. So let's bow our heads. Father, I pray for us as a body, Lord, everyone within the sound of my voice, Lord, number one, that you will make us aware. This is a big prayer, Lord. That you would make us aware where we are thinking the wrong thoughts, that you would convict us, that you would show us, and then that you would grace us, Father. Show us what we should be thinking. Show us what we should be saying. And if we're watching things, listening to things that are not of you, Lord, I pray that you would show us what those are. Help us and give us grace, Father, to turn those off. Lord, to delete apps, to whatever it is we need to do to cut that thing off. God's speaking to people right now, because when we watch and think and all that, pay attention to what we let in through our eye gate, ear gate, we're going to be fighting it all the time. We're going to think about it at night. So God, help us and show us, grace us, Father. I pray we would never be the same. Father, that you would imprint on our hearts the desire to walk in victory, to think according to the plan. I pray for every person in here, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for setting us free tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. We'll see you guys on Sunday.